This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Good evening. Salt and Pepper is here. Hello, I'm Pete Dillon, and sadly, I have bad news to report that Serena Ryan has been removed to the bench. We've had to pull in an interchange player off the bench because Serena has had a wisdom tooth removed earlier today. She can't speak. So making a very august return to the microphones here on Salt and Pepper on a Tuesday night on Joy 94.9 is the very delightful and stunningly gorgeous Kath Anderson. Welcome back.
Well, thank you. And I'm pleased to let you know that I have no wisdom teeth to extract.
So, oh, that's nice. I've got none either.
No, isn't that weird? Some people just go through all this drama with them and then others are saved.
I had a number of teeth taken out when I was younger. So when the wisdom teeth came down, they just grew into the place of the other ones that were removed. It was all terribly easy.
Well, that is very easy. They didn't just dissolve or anything.
No. Nice. But she is in a world of pain, and we know that she might probably not be listening because hopefully the painkillers will have kicked in by now. So, Serena, we are thinking of you, and Kath, thank you for coming in off the bench. Now, you are the news editor for Lottl, and
This is true. Lottl's been around for a long time, and I so have I, so it seems. yes, pick up your free copy every month. But yes, I'm looking forward to tonight. That we've got a lot of stuff to get through, which schedule is hectic.
Our dance card is full.
It's even fuller than Tony Abbott's. No, that's not right. No. I was going to say full. It's the opposite, isn't it?
As full as Ellen Jones's chaff bag. Yeah. I don't know if anyone's familiar with that chaff bag story. He keeps wanting to put people in a chaff bag. Julia Gillard, Kevin Rudd, Wayne Swan, Barack Obama wants to put them in a chaff bag, put it out to sea, and make them swim back. This has been an ongoing thing. It was on Media Watch last night. Was the only reason I'm reminded of it.
He needs to be put in a little bucket and sent off down the river somewhere, a little Huck Finn style, but without a paddle.
Just who? Alan Jones?
Yeah.
Well, we need to put him in a chaff bag. We probably need to glam it up a bit.
Hey, I'm going to float.
Our music choices tonight come to us very much courtesy of the word London. Now, I feel like I'm on Sesame Street.
Oh, I know. Give me a letter L and a number 2012.
Yeah? Woohoo!
Hashtag.
Because Sunday night, the Olympic Games will kick off on our televisions and we will be absorbed by them for 2 weeks. We will know, it will be like Bruce McAvaney, we will know every sporting statistic there is to know by the end of the Games about every gold medalist.
You know what I'm looking forward to?
What?
The montages. Like, I love a good montage.
Yes.
I love it, right? The hero shots and the people running and the slow-mo and the agony and the ecstasy and in the meanwhile, the backdrop and the symphonic music and all that stuff and a couple of, you know,
couple of royals waving or something.
Yes, that's it. A couple of celebrities nodding, smiling, gold waving, people biting their medals, stuff like that.
Oh, yes.
Can't
all
wait.
For those. I love it. It's high campery at the best of times, isn't it?
I reckon. All those costumes, those flat, all those colours.
Yeah, I'm actually looking forward to the opening ceremony. I will be firmly ensconced on my sofa on Sunday night. I've bought appropriate snacks. I've got
Night or Saturday morning? I was trying to work this out.
I believe it's Sunday night. No, well, it's the 27th in London, but we are.
Yeah, we're behind.
There's quite a significant difference in time.
See, so I was setting up my popcorn for Saturday morning. We have to check this. But
well, I've got some lovely Walker's toffee, some treacle toffee,
which
is something from the UK that I just love.
Yeah.
I've got some tea that's come from Fortnum & Mason, so I'll be having tea.
Oh.
Look, I'll be getting my regal on, as you can imagine.
You can have a crumpet.
Oh, I do like a bit of crumpet. I could have a crumpet. So, I'm all ready to go for the opening ceremony because I'm a sports whore. I could seriously sit and watch anything as long as it doesn't involve boxing or car racing.
What about judo? Are you a fan of judo?
Yeah, I don't mind people kicking the shit out of one another.
Yeah, it's
not bad, sort of imagine the faces on the people so that, you know, when somebody's having the shit kicked out of them, that it looks like Tony Abbott. Perhaps.
Yeah, take that! Take it! Take it, Tony! Right, kick to the face.
Now, you're across what's happening in the world of the social media and things that are hashtagged. Julia Gillard, I believe, is on your mind.
Oh, Julia Gillard. Julia's been trending today. Actually, her visit to the set of Wolverine in Sydney has been trending.
So she's gone and seen Hugh.
She has. She's gone out to see Real Hugh Jackman. So in Sydney, they went out to, I think it was at Fox Studios, so they did a little tour, and she's tweeting out there going, Hugh Jackman, you know, saving me from the rain, Real Hugh Jackman, ha-ha, talking makeup with Hugh Jackman. I mean, because obviously
Hugh Jackman didn't mention the homosexualist marriage, perhaps.
Well, look, I think it would have been a very opportune time for him to raise those queries with her. Because he and Deborah Lee Furness, as you know, are very equality-focused. But I'm not privy to any private conversations, but we've got a lot of Julia and her outdated and archaic opinions coming up.
Well, we will be speaking a little bit about Julia. We'll be speaking about Kevin Rudd. We'll be speaking about all sorts of things. So what we might do, because the music is themed with London, we've kicked off talking about the games, we're going to have a bit of a song, and this is... I do quite like getting my groove onto this song, if you can imagine that. This is Lily Allen with LDN, which is her little homage to London. That was the fabulous Lily Allen with LDN. It's our homage to London tonight, musically, for the opening ceremony of the Olympic Games. And look, Kev, we've done a bit of research during that song. Well, actually, Matthew did the research. Matthew, who presses our buttons and dials. One of the best-looking panellists around. I'll give you that for my money. 5:30 a.m. Saturday.
Yep.
Is when the opening ceremony will start.
Yep. So if you want to see it live, then you have to get up at 5:30.
Get yourself out of bed about 20 past, pop the kettle on, pop to the tush.
Yep.
And then off you go
and curl up on the couch.
Yeah, well, I'll be doing that as long as I can get in to do crying.
Well, look, I start work at 7 o'clock every morning, so look, getting up at 5:30 really isn't a problem.
Piece of easy for you.
No problem at all.
I just have to make sure I keep myself nice on Friday night.
Tidy.
Time for some national news, and look, there is a great deal. The first of which, I don't know how to take this, and I'd like if you could cast your journalist eye over it, because we both have different sort of journalist eyes. The three gay marriage advocates have recalled a conversation in which Kevin Rudd told them he would fix the marriage law and that Julia Gillard had previously spoken in support of the change when she was a member of his cabinet. The conversation allegedly took place at a party held by gay marriage lobbyists during the Labour Party National Conference last December, and it included Mr Rudd, who was then Minister for Foreign Affairs, Dr Karen Phelps and her partner Jackie Stricker, who we know very well on this program, and another campaigner, Jeff Thomas, who is a Vietnam vet who has a gay son.
Yep.
Mr Rudd has said that if he was the Prime Minister, gay marriage would have gone through. Now, this is something that Jackie Stricker has told the Sun Herald. We couldn't believe how open and forthright he was. And Mr Rudd has allegedly gone on to say the reason Julia Gillard is in power is because of a deal she did with the Australian Christian Lobby and the Conservative Union boss from the SDA, Joe de Bruin.
Yes.
How do you read all of this?
I read it as, I trust implicitly what Jackie and Karen have got to say. I don't believe for a second that they were misled. But I do take what Kevin has said, or Mr. Rudd, with a grain of salt. I mean, he's not in power. He is a man with an axe to grind. As we later saw, he went on from then to raise a challenge. He can say whatever he likes. He can say, if I was there, then this law would be changed. It just sounds like politicking to me. I don't have much slate in it.
Mr. Thomas, Jeff Thomas, who is the father, the Vietnam vet with the gay son, said, Mr. Thomas added, he said in cabinet that she previously argued in favour of same-sex marriage. Jackie Stricker and Dr. Karen Phelps, and like I said, we play a great deal of credence to what both of them have to say, have corroborated the comments, but now Kevin has denied those comments, and his spokeswoman, rather than himself, said Mr. Rudd does not intend to comment on multiple private conversations he has had over time on civil unions and same-sex marriage, other than to say the content of the reported conversations contained in your inquiry is not accurate, including your references to cabinet discussions, which is a matter of principle Mr. Rudd does not comment on.
Oh, well, that's the same veil that they hide behind when he's talking about, you know, all his dealings with Julia Gillard as well and the lead up to, you know, his knife and all that kind of stuff. I mean, there has to be a certain, you know, privacy curtain with these kinds of discussions between members of parliament, and there has to be some sort of, you know, veil, and Labor does too, because that's, you know, keeping the party line, keeping things tight ship, which is rarely happens.
They do.
But
place leaks like a sieve.
If they are saying that he said that, I believe that he said that, and I think that for him to come out and then deny it, I think it's just ridiculous.
Well, both Karen and Jackie have stated that Mr. Rudd had asked them to keep it confidential, the conversation. But and they were furious. Jackie Stricker was furious when told of Mr. Rudd's denial. If he was thinking he came back, he would put it through. It would have been very easy for us to go out there and say, guess what? But we respected it was confidential. She continued, I don't respect someone denying a conversation, not on something that's important to people. I'm tired of people prancing around being held to ransom by religious fanatics. They are using religion as an excuse for bigotry.
I know, I love her, the way that she puts things as well. They're prancing around, because that's essentially what people are doing. You know, and that's essentially what Rudd is doing.
I'd call it a bit of fuss-assing around. Look, we might have some messages. It is about 13 and a half minutes past 11 o'clock, I don't know what time it is. And you will forgive my sniffling and snorting. I do have a bit of a heat.
Look, I don't think everybody in the city has a cold at the moment, unfortunately. So
I'll have cleared my head.
Joy 94.9.
Yes, it is Joy 94.9. Salt and Pepper with you. The salty one is off for the night. She's on the interchange bench with a wisdom tooth. I was going to say something about osteopubitis or whatever those football players have, but I don't think Serena would care for that. So she's off with a wisdom tooth. Cathy Anderson has been drafted in from the interchange bench to join us as we talk through all of the news of the week, both nationally and internationally, here on Salt and Pepper on Joy 94.9. Let's move on. Did you watch or take part in any of the public hangout that the PM did on the weekend? I think it was Saturday, 11 a.m. She did a bit of a Google Plus / online public hangout where people were able to put questions to her. The questions were voted on, and a number of the most popular questions were put to the Prime Minister, including one around equal marriage.
Right. She's getting pretty. I've got to say, she is pretty good at putting herself out there, and she has done that a lot lately because she did that whole thing when she came in, went to the Herald Sun building, and did a live, you know, blog about the carbon tax with people. And she doesn't have any of her minders there. She just does it herself. Yep. She types everything in herself.
She doesn't respond to the tweets I sent her, but quite often they could be a little belligerent.
Look, she's not as prolific on Twitter, but so this forum that she did on the weekend is another example of that. And I think despite her opinions with which we violently disagree, I think we probably should give her a bit of props for getting out there.
Look, I agree, and you know, it's like former Prime Minister Rudd. Again, we'll bring Kevin into the conversation, going on to Rove, having those sort of, you know, hilarity moments that he had on Rove. I guess this is Julia's way of doing it. But look, the majority of the Australian public is ready for marriage equality. And I think that through all of the polls we've seen, that the public, we're looking at about 65% of the Australian public who say, yes, let's just do it, get on with it and start worrying about governing the country. The Prime Minister said on the weekend that politics isn't about making decisions based on opinion polls. It's about making decisions you feel are right. Now, we know that Julia has been, in the past, a supporter of equal marriage. So a question by somebody by the name of Shane Bazzi put this question, and there was over 12,000 votes from the public to have this put to the Prime Minister. He goes on to and part of the question is in the audio grab we're about to play, but he says, Prime Minister, poll after poll indicates the overwhelming majority of Australians support same-sex marriage, including the House of Representatives and the Senate's inquiries into marriage equality. While I acknowledge and appreciate the many Labor for reforms removing discrimination of same-sex couples, we must not say to gay and lesbian Australians that almost equal is good enough, because almost equal is not good enough. He then goes on to puts a question to the Prime Minister, and we might just have a little audio grab of part of that question that Julia Gillard's response.
But of course, it wouldn't have been a public discussion without the inclusion of that political hot potato, gay marriage.
Prime Minister, the difference between your relationship and my relationship is that you are given the choice to choose if you want to marry your partner or not, whereas I am denied that choice.
I do still find myself, with a different view about the cultural status of marriage and about how it would therefore be best to acknowledge the relationships of others. So, you know, not changing the cultural status of marriage, but if you like, creating new ways that our society can recognise loving and committed relationships. So I know my view is different to yours, but it is, you know, deeply held, and it is how I will vote in the Parliament later this year.
See, what annoys me about that, there's parts of that that are cut out. And she said, look, I don't think that heterosexual relationships are more valued than same-sex relationships. And she states having a view about the cultural status of marriage in our society. Now, Julia Gillard is an atheist, the first female atheist, unmarried prime minister, and she's the leader of a self-described socially progressive party. One wonders what where these cultural values are informed by. And it was discussed last week in some of the press that the only reason that Julia Gillard is not supporting same-sex marriage is because she has done a deal with the devil. Mm. She has done a deal with... to keep her in power with a couple of right-wing union factions in New South Wales. And the question has been put, you know, why are you selling out all of these Australian men and women who are in loving, committed relationships just to hang on to your job?
Well, I think the bigger question is what means the cultural value. What is it that she actually says? The cultural value of marriage.
Mm.
I'm not quite sure where she's coming from, because as an atheist, she doesn't believe in religion.
Correct.
Doesn't believe in the, you know, that marriage, which is on one level very much a religious institution. And that's where we were getting away from.
This is my concern. Marriage has never been, or should never have been, a religious institution. Marriage was around well before Christianity came into place. Marriage is a legal and social construct. It is not a religious institution. So where that is drawn by the cultural status of marriage, it probably points to a comment that Christopher Pyne made last night on Q&A around education, suggesting that you know, children, Australian history when it's taught in schools should be around the Judeo-Christian faith.
Yep.
Which terrifies me, because so much of our population is made up of those religions other than Judeo-Christian. Mm. So,
well, that brings out a whole...
Well, look, it does.
A whole other area. But, I mean, you are right. There seems to be on the surface and on, you know, taking at face value, there seems to be no reason why a woman... like Julia Gillard, with all the qualities that she possesses and all the all the ways that we can describe her, why she doesn't support same-sex marriage. And then the whole idea, this whole conspiracy idea of her dealing, as you say, a deal with the devil and right-wing factions and the Christian lobby is frightening.
Oh,
it's frightening because those groups are so detrimental to the queer community, but also frightening that she would... be that kind of person to put herself in that position.
Which is an atheist. So why get into bed with any of these Christian organisations? Misha Schubert from Fairfax is the political reporter at Fairfax. She continued the topic with a follow-up question. It's not just community views that are changing. Is it though, PM, Ms. Gillard? Your ally, President Barack Obama, used to have a very similar view to yours about the cultural status of marriage, in part derived from his personal religious beliefs. Yeah. But in May, he turned that position on its head and said one of the issues that made him evolve his position was having close friends and members of his staff that were in same-sex relationships. One wonders whether at all Julia Gillard will be influenced by Barack Obama's move. It's just a concern.
Well, she says, you know, look. I love how she always says, look. She says, does that look?
Look.
Wait. Like, it's almost like, wait, I've just got to think about this.
Mm.
Look, you know, Obama did change his mind and he's explained his personal journey. And she just goes on to say she respects him and we get the opportunity to spend a bit of time together. I mean, one would hope that would spend more time together so that then he could explain to her the political and emotional benefits of moral benefits of being socially progressive, as she claims to be.
Indeed. And look, Shane Bazzi, who put this question to the PM on Sunday, he got the last word. Just as long as you remember, Prime Minister, you'll be on the wrong side of history.
I do love that end quote. On you, Shane. I really want to meet
Shane.
Yeah,
I like the guy. We were hoping to have a chat this evening with a representative from Rainbow Labor. Unfortunately, that's not going to go ahead. They are all unavailable. But we wanted to talk about them. Rainbow Labor has welcomed the National LGBTI Aged Care Strategy. Earlier today, Dean Beck spoke to the Minister, Mark Butler, and Rainbow Labor have popped out a bit of a press release to say they welcome the announcement that the Gillard government will develop a National LGBTI Aged Care Strategy to support the implementation of living longer and living better. I think this is important.
Yeah, it's one of the things that we don't really talk about. I mean, there was a story some months ago about a woman who was organising, and I don't know where it's at, and someone may be able to help us out on this. She was trying to raise funds to build the first gay and lesbian retirement home in Melbourne. Mm. And around that, it was really interesting speaking with her because she was saying, well, look, people who have lived together for forever are not legally married because, clearly it's illegal, or in de facto can't go into these nursing homes if they need to by the time they get to a state where they need constant care or assisted living, can't stay together. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And the whole impetus for her to put together this idea of a gay and lesbian retirement home, and certainly in the city, I think they were looking around, major metro areas, was in fact to facilitate the ongoing lifestyle of gay people. What happens
just
when
because
you get
we get
old?
It doesn't mean we stop being who
that's
we are.
Right. Who you're together 20 years, you can't tell me that they wouldn't split a husband and wife up. Almost as much hoo-ha as those.
Mine's popping me into a home. He'll be well prepared for that. It'll probably be about 4 weeks' time.
Look, assisted living sounds like a lot of fun. I don't know why we.
I can just imagine a whole bunch of sort of, 60, 70, 80 year old gay and lesbian folk living in almost like a gated community. I think it'd be incredible. The place would look fabulous if nothing else.
Part of this is also about educating health professionals about the care and special needs and sensitivity around gay lesbian issues as well. Once people get old, doesn't mean that we should just get put out to pasture.
Exactly. Look, it's great news, and we do congratulate the Gillard government, oddly enough, on making that decision. The Gay Panic Defence. Now, we've talked a lot lately around what's happening in Queensland, in particular. Attorney General Jared Blahey, he has, in conjunction with the LNP Premier Campbell Newman, just basically putting Queensland back to 1955, with the changes they've made with the cuts to funding to QUARC, which is the Queensland Queer Health Initiative that works in HIV prevention, along with other bits and pieces in the queer community, and the latest salvo is around the gay panic defence. We wanted to take a bit of a step back. In 2008, a man was murdered in the grounds of St Mary's Catholic Church in Maribyrnong, in Queensland, and I believe first to the scene and the person who's had to follow up with that is Father Paul Kelly. We're going to speak to him now. Father Kelly, good evening.
Good evening.
Thank you for your time. Look, we just wanted to perhaps reset what happened in 2008 and how this has come about, the gay panic defence, the fact that the Queensland government has chosen not to instigate this, and also there's another sort of series of questions, I think, around your faith and sexuality as far as people go. Let's start first of all with 2008. What exactly happened in the grounds there at St Mary's Church?
A man was found dead just in the undercover area as part of the church in St. Mary's, just near the car park. And initially it wasn't clear whether he was had been beaten up somewhere else and had fallen there or whether it happened there. Turned out he was beaten where he lay. Mm. And as it turned out, when two suspects were arrested and charged, the explanation for what set one of them off was that he allegedly made a homosexual advance. He grabbed his crotch, and this led to him losing all control and bashing him repeatedly over a very lengthy period of a few minutes. And then he was left lying there all night and found at 8 o'clock the next morning.
I think the disturbing part of this initially is that there are two or three assailants. There is one gay man, and there's a lot of holes in this defence that's been used by, I believe, Richard Meerdink and Jason Pierce. They were jailed for manslaughter rather than murder of Mr. Rux, and they use this gay panic defence. How do you read that? How frustrating is that for you as a man of the cloth to try and justify how they could be given such a lenient sentence for the death of another human being?
Well, there was a lot of wordplay going on that complicated the issue. Most complicating of the factors is that the victim wasn't actually gay, and it was not true that he actually made a homosexual advance. This is where it gets a bit confusing, because the man claimed that he had done that and that claimed that that had set him off. The judge found that no such touching occurred, and the video evidence quite clearly showed there was no contact. And so they didn't accept that it actually happened. But then the judge curiously said, but you believed that it had happened. Now, we don't know what that means, but anyway, so...
I believe in unicorns, it doesn't mean they exist.
I mean, the whole thing is preposterous. The mother and the victim's girlfriend have come out and said he wasn't gay. But even the fact that they had to come out and sort of defend his honour, so to speak, and it's understandable, the mother's been very good. She said, look, I'm not saying that anyone deserves to be beaten up, even if they were gay or did make a pass at someone, but it's even more annoying if that wasn't actually what he identified as.
Mm.
So that my question as I was listening to all of this is, well, why would someone say such a thing unless they thought it would advantage them in some way, unless they thought that this would get a good hearing, that a jury might think, oh, well, that explains everything. So, it's a worry.
Mm.
Father Kelly, Cathy Anderson here. I was wondering how, I mean, this literally has landed at your doorstep, this issue. And I'm unaware of, you know, what sort of political leanings you had in the past or how you felt about these kinds of issues, but how your personal journey has been on this, because you are now an instigator of change and you are really a champion for changing these laws. How has this particular incident changed you?
It's been a real eye-opener to me, because what started out as basically, you know, what I thought was a common sense call that any civilised society should give everyone in the community, no matter what their orientation, culture, whatever, certain protections from violence, from hatred, from death. And that's something most of the community accepts. But then it becomes so difficult to change.
Mm.
If a law is unintendedly having an effect on certain groups of people.
Mm.
And the obfuscation, the word plays, the excuses that come up why nothing can be done to change things, I found that an eye-opener.
It's absurd in its context. You know, these laws have been removed in several other Australian states, also in New Zealand, so to suggest that it can't be changed is to me a pile of bollocks, if you'll pardon my French. There's also the previous Labor government in New South Wales Queensland under Anna Bligh, suggested changes to the laws, or recommended changes to the laws, that this gay panic defence be removed from legislation. And now Attorney General Blahy has confirmed that he's not going to proceed with those changes. That's got to put most of Queensland, I'm sure, in some sort of state of confusion.
I think so. And to add matters worse, the government now, various people are writing and ringing in to the Premier and saying they're concerned about why more isn't being done. And I'm being told, and I've seen it on Facebook, statements from some official government people, that the response to people is the gay panic defence does not exist, and that those cases did not involve a gay advance.
Which is now, extraordinary. Father, I'm just going to ask if you'd stick with us. We do have to play a couple of messages to keep the station on air. We'll come back. We're speaking with Father Paul Kelly. He's from St Mary's Church in Maryborough, around the Gay Panic Defence in Queensland and an event that he was witness to in 2008. This is Salt and Pepper here on Joy 94.9, your regular peppery person, Pete Dillon, with you. And Cathy Anderson has been drafted from the bench. I'm not sure whether we're calling her olive oil this evening. She will be some sort of condiment to fit with the salt and pepper.
Chili flakes, thanks.
Chili flakes, indeed. We are speaking with Father Paul Kelly. He is the priest at St Mary's Church in Maryborough. We're speaking to him before the break about the gay panic defence in Queensland. And Father, we'd just like to finish with you. I want to talk about the humanity of this decision from the Attorney General not to go ahead with the change to the legislation. I also wanted to sort of see where this sits with your priest's hat on, if you will, around the acceptance of different sexualities within the faith.
It's very disappointing that the government has said it's not going to do enough. I don't accept, as you mentioned, the excuses they're giving. They really insult the intelligence of the people who are concerned.
Mm.
There clearly needs to be more done. The fact that you can say it doesn't exist as a defence is ridiculous. Mm. And it's like saying you can't get bread and milk from a grocery store because the word grocery store doesn't actually say bread and milk. It is that dumb.
Mm.
And that's what's ridiculous about it. They know it's available under the common law and will be available until it's excluded implicitly or explicitly. As for it under my precept, this fits perfectly. I've never felt there was any conflict because any religion that actually engenders or tolerates hatred, intolerance, violence, is not a religion I know of.
Right.
And I wouldn't be able to exist in it. So.
Another question that's probably going to challenge you personally, and I never intended to ask this question, but throughout our discussion, where would you sit were gay marriage legalised in Australia? If loving committed couples wanted to come before you in the church and have you solemnise their marriage, where do you sit on that personally?
Well, I wouldn't be allowed to do it, I must admit. I mean, there is a... In a lot of people's eyes, it seems a contradiction.
Mm.
All I would say is when the church feels that it can't condone that, it should never be taken that it hates people or wants to wish them ill. It would be because they honestly believe that it's not something they're permitted to do.
Mm.
I think a civilized society should always allow people to go, well, I wish people well, even if I don't agree with or hold the same beliefs.
Mm.
I didn't
mean to challenge you. It's just something that sort of came to me.
You put on the spot. Perhaps.
Yeah,
some...
it's a difficult issue, I know. But I mean, the fact that people think, oh, Christians would, you know, actually support violence or hatred or intolerance towards homosexuals indicates that the message is getting very confused.
It is indeed.
Father Kelly, you talked briefly just there about civilised society, and there's plenty of civilised people that have signed your change.org petition regarding this, the gay panic defence and the Queensland government's decision to not change the laws. Where are you at with that, and can people still sign it, or is it going to be presented at some point? What's the status?
Yes, you can sign it on www.change.org, I think it's /gay panic, and it's up to 200,000 or more.
Yes, I know. Yeah, we are very civilised.
Congratulations.
It's good, isn't it?
I'm wondering how many of those...
Right across the board, it really is. But like most people of goodwill understand how crazy it is not to do more. I'm planning to present it to Campbell Newman or the Attorney General. I do hope they are able to front up and receive it.
We wish you a great deal of luck with that.
I may need it.
Yes, with both Campbell Newman and, of course, Jared Blakey. Father Paul Kelly, he is the parish priest at St Mary's Church in Mirabah. Thank you for your time this evening. We're very grateful for you for putting all of this into perspective for us, and we wish you well with the presentation of that petition.
Thank you.
Thank you. What a nice chap.
Look, isn't he great? And yeah. I love the fact that the Catholic priest is the priesthood all
his
over
Facebook. Page.
Yeah, it's so great. I was reading the comments on Facebook. Look, what a guy, I've got to say. He's going head first and he's really taking this whole issue by the horns.
Yes.
And saying,
by the horns.
Literally, by the ball. I was going to say something else.
Yes, I know
you're
quite
inappropriate.
Very quickly, another couple of stories in the national news before we do have to move on. Shane Mellard, who is the outgoing City of Sydney councillor, will be the first member of the Liberal Party to take part in a same-sex marriage after announcing plans to marry in Denmark next year.
Hello. Well done.
I'm sitting on the fence on this story, and I don't know why. His impending nuptials were announced as the party's membership settled on Sydney branch president Edward Mandler over Tony Abbott's lesbian sister Christine Foster to take on the Lord Mayor Clover Moore at September's council elections. Mm. Foster will now run as number two on the ticket behind Edward Mandler. Mm. Mellard's leaving council so that he might challenge Clover Moore for her state seat of Sydney. So we may indeed have a state-based member of the Liberal Party in the state government who is, in fact, married. Yeah. We wish Shane Mallard all the best for that. And Alex Greenwich, whom I'm sure you know of, my dear.
Yeah, of course. He's wonderful. A co-convener of Australian Marriage Equality. Got married recently.
In Argentina.
In Argentina. Mm-hmm. And lovely for overseas wedding, but sad.
Sad that, as somebody who is an advocate for marriage equality and change in Australia, I sort of wondered whether going to Argentina was not a cop-out, but in some sense a sort of saying, well, I'm not willing to wait any longer. I want to do it.
And why shouldn't it? Why should he have to wait any longer?
I'm not questioning his decision.
Jumping down your throat here, but it just makes me mad.
Well, Alex is now making his first foray into the world of politics, joining Lord Mayor Clover Moore's team of independent candidates ahead of the September City of Sydney Council elections.
Yeah. And good for him, and I would vote for him if I lived in Sydney still.
Yep, his 31-year-old Potts Point resident said he was encouraged to join Moore's team as he wanted to help Sydney become a safer and more sustainable city for future generations. Other members of the candidacy team include Lord Mayor Robert Kirk, planning expert John Mance, writer and broadcaster Nell Schofield, academic Jenny Green, former councillor Robin Kemmis, and King's Cross Parents and Carers Association coordinator Claudia Bowman. And those local government elections will be held across New South Wales on Saturday, the 8th of September.
Mm, I like Clover Moore. I like her bike lanes.
Do you?
As a cyclist, yes. Everyone in Sydney hates them.
Mm.
I think they're a great addition.
We were going to have another track around London, which we'll do in just a second, but I think we might change the track we were going to have. We were initially going to play the very gorgeous London Still by the Waves, but I'm a bit of a fan of Warren Zevon, and this is a track from the 70s. This is Werewolves in London. You're listening to Salt and Pepper on Joy 94.9.
Joy. 94.9.
It is, oh goodness me, I don't know, it's about quarter to midnight.
It's
We're
late.
Flying through
it's
the
late.
Show. I know,
I've got to get back on my bike later on. It's going to be cold out
it
there.
It is going to be cold. Look, earlier we had a very brief chat about Rainbow Labour welcoming the National LGBTI Aged Care Strategy, and it's a very late hour of the night. Neil Ferro, who is the co-convener of Rainbow Labour, has called in to join us. Neil, good evening.
Good evening.
Thanks for your time. Mate, what does this mean as far as the announcement that the Gillard government will develop a national LGBTI aged care strategy to support the implementation of living longer and living better? What does it mean for our community from Rainbow Labor's perspective?
Look, one of the big things that we've heard from a lot of the LGBTI community is about the lack of facilities around aged care and the lack of understanding. And Mark Butler's announcement today around the strategy to implement some of these areas in aged care will really mean for the first time that LGBTI people are catered for by trained staff. It's consideration given to the fact that they don't want to live an asexual life in retirement and that they may have same-sex couples. And this is the first part of a bigger policy to ensure that not only is anti-discrimination provisions enshrined in aged care, but that we can continue to live our lives really through into retirement with people that we love or care for.
That's outstanding that not only are the discrimination issues being addressed, but also the fact that old people still want to have sex.
Exactly.
And if we want to have sex with the people that we love, then God damn it, we're going to. And no nursing home is going to stop us. This is quite extraordinary.
It is, and it's not just from that side of it as well, but it's the companionship and everything else. Mm. So lots of people have spent their lives together, 20, 30, 50 years, and for too long, aged care has been a bastion of sort of asexuality and a lack of companionship for gay and lesbian, bisexual, transgender and sex people. Mm. And this is a really good policy in that area. And it's also for the first time, and it's good to be a leader in something again, that transgender and intersex issues are being addressed in an aged care circumstance. So I think it's actually a world first, I've been told, but to be confirmed, that we're actually looking at that particular part of our community in aged care.
Neil, what sort of funding has been put behind the preparation of this strategy?
There's a substantial amount of money. The overall package is $3.7 billion in aged care reform, but specifically it's $2.5 million for staff training as the first stage of strategy to address the need of older Australians in the LGBTI community. Mm. So the government has invested in this area and will continue to do so. And from a Rainbow Labor's perspective, we've been lobbying and advocating for this and other reforms in health, earlier this year we had the removal of the Certificate of No Impediment to Marriage, and right back to National Conference last year, we actually made probably about 35 different policy changes in the ALP national platform, and it's great to see the government implementing a lot of those.
What's the likelihood that this could be repealed by an incoming coalition government?
Well, look, it's the unfortunate knife hanging over a lot of our community at the moment. We've seen that in Queensland, in the first 100 days of office under the Conservative government there, we've had the single largest rollback of LGBTI rights in the Western world, which includes, obviously, the abolition of civil unions, the recriminalisation of altruistic surrogacy, the defunding of Quack and Family Planning Queensland. So, look, it's something I'd encourage the community to get involved in and get vocal about, and really think about the elderly members of the LGBTI community and stand behind them and say, you know what, in their nursing homes and retirement homes, they should deserve their companion and or their lover or their partner or whatever they wish to call it, as does everybody else in the community. So,
well, Neil, we're all going to be old one day. That's the unfortunate fact of life. We're two things. Who was it that said about death and taxes?
Oh, I don't know. But maybe instead of it being lover and companion or whatever, maybe at one point they can be
husband
my
or
husband
wife.
And my wife. And then there will be there'll be less need for a million-dollar policy on this end. You know, let's just let the law take over, which would be a nice ideal world, wouldn't it?
It would indeed, and Rainbow Labor's definitely fighting for that one too. And look, we're very hopeful we'll get the majority of the Labor caucus supporting marriage equality, and we've got the majority of cabinet.
I think it's those folk across the other side of the house that we have to consider. Neil, thank you for your time. We appreciate you calling in and being able to comment on this story for us. Thank you.
Not a problem, and have a great evening.
You too. Thank you. That's Neil Ferro. He's the national co-convener of Rainbow Labor. We want to pop to some very international news because we're very quickly running out of time.
Oh, look, the hour just flies past, doesn't it?
It does indeed.
Witching hour.
Oh, there we go. I've been caught with my microphone on unexpectedly. This is the international news here on Salt and Pepper on Joy 94.9.
Welcome to the world.
Yes, look, a couple of stories we want to quickly flick through. The first one, Caster Semenya. Many people remember Caster as the 800-metre runner whose gender was put in doubt in the 2009 World Championships when it was revealed to me. She was the subject of some gender testing by the IAAF. For apparently exhibiting high levels of testosterone. She was precluded from taking part in any competition until they cleared her to compete in July 2010. And it's highly likely she took the silver medal at the 800-metre event at last year's World Champs, and she is considered one of the favourites for the 800 metres in London. She will be carrying the flag for South Africa, which I think is fantastic.
It is. It's brilliant. Brilliant news. And she says, she's very cute actually, she says, it's such a privilege for me to do such a big thing like that, to carry the flag for the team. It's such a big thing. It's a very big thing. So, very happy.
Yes, it is. We do mourn the passing of the first woman in space. Sally Ride has passed away after a 17-month battle with pancreatic cancer. But it's brought to light a less reported fact about the first American woman in space was in a long-term relationship with her female partner, Tam O'Shanassy.
I didn't know that, did you?
No, look, it's they'd been partners for 27 years. She's also identified in a bio on Sally's Science official website as the company's COO and Executive Vice President for Content. Sally Ride was married when she was younger to another astronaut-type person. Steve Hawley was his name. That union ended in divorce in 1987. And so whilst we're mourning Sally Ride, we mourn another person who's contributed greatly to the lesbian and gay community around the world.
Yes, yeah, so if you've seen Sally Ride, those two words have been trending on Twitter all afternoon. So there's obviously a lot of support out there for her, a lot of congratulations and commiserations. And,
yes. Very quickly, in London, I find this funny. Grindr basically went into overload and shut down in London as the Olympic athletes arrived in London to the Athletes' Village. Now, the village is in East London. Grindr has about 350,000 users who were trying to log into the app last week when the athletes moved into the Olympic Village, and oddly enough, it crashed.
Not really, oddly enough, according to one local who said it happened almost as soon as the teams got here. Either loads of athletes were logging on to meet fellow Olympians or were looking to bag a local.
Yes, well, look, so it's unclear, and the people responsible for Grindr, it was suggested it could be an elaborate PR stunt. But unfortunately, we're not sure whether that is, in fact, the story or not. It raises the important issue of homosexuality at the Olympics. We know there are 20 out athletes at this 2012 London Games, only 3 or 4 of which are male, the rest are female.
True.
We were going to go into that, but we are very quickly running out of time. We do want to talk about a horrible story from Nebraska. A woman has had anti-gay slurs carved into her skin in an alleged hate crime. We've got some audio of the story coming from Lincoln, Nebraska.
Local authorities originally responded to what they thought was a house fire, but when they arrived, they learned it was so much more. As of now, all police will confirm is that around 4 a.m., crews arrived at the home of a 33-year-old woman near 22nd and E. They say several suspects forced themselves inside her home, assaulted her, then started a fire as they got away. The woman then ran over to a neighbor's house to call for help. Although it's still under investigation, police are not at this time calling it a hate crime, though friends are and have gathered at the Capitol to bring awareness to the issue. That's where we'll find Channel 8 Eyewitness News reporter Sabrina Ahmed.
Here at the Capitol, hundreds of people gathered in response to what many people say is a hate crime. It all happened early this morning. Firefighters responded to what was a house fire, but friends say it turned into much more than that.
She's surviving.
A friend of the victim says the woman who was attacked in her bed is working to make it through. Not much is confirmed by police. Officials do say they were called to a fire near 22nd and F. They say multiple suspects forced themselves into the home, assaulted the woman, then started a fire inside. A friend who did not want to go on camera explains what he says happened inside.
Three men came into her home. They broke down the door, stripped her of all of her clothing, tied her hands behind her back. With a zip tie, they cut derogatory words into her arms and her stomach and continued to cut all over her body.
Friends add the men who assaulted her also spray painted derogatory homosexual words in her basement. Friends say they think this was a hate crime because the woman assaulted is a lesbian.
Someone takes the time to handcuff someone with a zip tie and carve derogatory comments or words into somebody else's body, that's sheer hate. And at this point, this is a hate crime.
Police say the woman ran to her neighbor's house for help. I spoke to the neighbor who says she also believes this was a hate crime. She also didn't want her identity revealed to keep the victim anonymous.
One has to wonder how it took them so long to determine whether or not this was in fact a hate crime.
And it was originally called out as a fire.
Yeah, and the second thing is that it took so far into that story to actually identify that the woman was a lesbian.
Well, yeah, what's the hate crime? Is she an African-American person? Is she, you know, what else?
Exactly,
what
could else have been one crime? Of anything. But the things that were sprayed on her wall, if you have a look at the new sites on the web, particularly coming out of Nebraska, they include, you know, something about her being a dyke and something about her being leave the kids alone. You know, it's really, really horrific that this would happen in anywhere in a civilized society.
That whole idea of a woman being in her own bed and being woken by intruders,
exactly,
stripped naked, tight, and then having things
carved into her skin. Imagine, I just imagine like the trauma that she is suffering. Look, we're not going to go ahead with the Donald tonight because Serena's not here. It's sort of a very much Serena thing for us to deliver the Donald, or so we won't be on. Ring anybody with the tool of the week, although I think a significant mention would go to those three gutless pricks that have done that to that woman in the United States. It actually made me shed a tear this afternoon when I first encountered that story.
Yeah, it's these are the stories that make you feel sick.
Yeah, they are. Let us have a couple of messages. We'll come back and we'll wrap this baby up so that we can get you on your bike and home to
into
a warm bed.
Hello, this is Alison Moyer. You're listening to Joy 94.9.
You are listening to Joy 94.9. It is Saturday. It's not Saturday Magazine. It is Salt and Pepper. Oh, it is. The hour is late. Kathy, thank you for coming in and joining us for popping in for Serena while she's at home recuperating. We must have you back to join us.
Sure. Big hugs out to Serena. I hope her mouth feels better. I'm sure that not being able to speak is probably be quite traumatic.
See, if it was me, they would say that was an act of God. This has been Salt and Pepper. You can get us on Salt and Pepper Joy. and on Twitter. I'm sorry, I'm really struggling.
Yep,
Salt and Pepper Joy on Twitter. We'd love to hear your feedback, as always. We will be back next Tuesday night. Until then, keep yourself safe. Thank you, Kath. Thank you, Matthew. Good night. Night is always gonna be here anyway.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Rubbing sticks and stones together make the sparks ignite, and the thought of loving you is getting so exciting. Sky rockets in flight, afternoon delight.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.